The April general elections are now less than 10 days away, and both the ruling and opposition parties are intensifying efforts to sway undecided voters. Now, as inflation remains hot amid soaring prices, the rival parties are churning out economic pledges to lower the financial burden on everyday citizens. On today's JMS Focus, we look into the hopes and concerns surrounding some of the key economic campaign pledges. For this, we now connect with Shin Se-dun, economics professor at Sungmyung Women's University. Good morning, Professor Shin.
Oh, good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right, let's begin with the DP chief's promises. So the opposition chief, Lee Jae-myung, has promised per capita cash handouts of 250,000 won. This would imply 1 million won for a four-member household. Former finance chief Choo Kyung-ho estimated 13 trillion won is needed for the handout alone. And for this, deficit government bonds must be issued. Can the government handle such an amount amid snowballing national debt? What would it do to our fiscal soundness?
Well, we know, you know, last year, 2023, tax revenues have fallen about 50 trillion as of year before. So we know that tax revenues are coming down. And also, you know, previous governments, including, you know, Yoon's government, has been running a budget deficit in astronomical amount. So on top of, you know, the declining tax revenues, and every government have been trying to expand the expenditure. So last year, the budget deficit was about 50 trillion won, and this proposal of, you know, 250,000 for every member, every, you know, man in the nation, that amounts to 13 trillion, which is about one third of last year's budget deficit. So it's going to be pretty a hectic amount, and it's going to be very difficult to finance for the government, especially when interest rates are very high, which means the price of government bonds are very low. So in short, it's going to be pretty challenging for the government, you know, to spend 13 trillion for 250,000 for every member.
And as highlighted by someone on the opposite end of the spectrum, An Chul-soo, if you run a deficit now, someone will have to pay off the hefty bill down the road. And he implied it might be the children. It might be us.
And also, you have to pay the interest, not to mention, you know, the capital. So, you know, in an environment when, you know, interests are very high, it's going to, you know, increase in a very fast way. So I think it's going to be unsustainable for Korean economy.
Okay. Economists are warning that these cash handouts will only worsen inflation to destabilize prices. What is your take?
Well, that is different kind of, you know, matter, because if everyone spends the 250,000 to the area that he had not planned before, then that's going to increase inflation. But if you substitute the amount, you know, to the area that you would have, you know, spent, then there will be no inflation. For example, suppose you spend 250,000 for your travel to Japan, you know, then increased money is going to spend in Japan. So it's not going to help Korean economy, nor is going to cause any inflation. So whether, you know, the 250,000 for each member would increase inflation, that depends upon, you know, where the people spend on. And according to the analysis of KDI, we had that similar kind of, you know, proposal about 4 years ago, right after the COVID-19. And the study showed that about 30% of the money was spent, and it created new consumption, and about 70% are spent on, you know, the area that they would have spent, you know, even without the cash handout. So in general, I think inflation effect will be very minimal.
Okay. Things like basic necessities as opposed to something like travel expenses, right? Mm-hmm. It's actually much more, at least based on data from 4 years ago, expected to be spent on things that you're going to spend money on in the first place. Now, let's turn over to some of the PPP's proposal. The ruling People Power Party leader Han Dong-un has promised to slash value-added tax in half from 10% to 5% for not all items, but items that are closely related to lives of ordinary people. So maybe going back to basic necessities there, would this help in lowering soaring prices? I mean, the basics of supply and demand tells me if we don't have enough apples and pears in the first place, it might not help. Is this populism or would this stabilize prices?
Well, you know, whether, you know, to the question whether it's going to help, you know, the solving the inflation, that depends on the scope of, you know, the sales tax cut. If you generally cut sales tax from 10% to 5%, it's going to cut about 4% inflation if that is applied generally. But, you know, Mr. Han's proposal was a very limited, you know, range of products, mostly processed food, like, you know, coffee, you know, the sugar or flour. If that, I think, is limited to the limited area, a limited scope of goods, I think it's not going to help inflation, but it will help financial kind of help to the people, especially low-income period. So it's not a measure for inflation, but it is a measure to help, you know, support financially to the needy people.
Okay, so we need to, again, pay closer attention to which of the food items then these VATs would be slashed for specifically. And these are things that have longer shelf lives, things that are processed goods, as you've said.
Right.
Here's our least favorite topic. Anytime we hear we're going to raise taxes, I don't think anyone responds with, yes, let's do that. Value-added tax is one of the government's major sources of tax revenue. Some experts point out Korea's 10% VAT is much lower than the OECD average of, turns out, 19%. Arguing the tax rate must be increased for the country's fiscal soundness. What are your thoughts on this, Professor Shin?
Yeah, we know that, you know, VAT tax is about every year the government is collecting about 80 trillion won on the VAT, and that is the third largest tax revenues for the government, which is about one quarter, I think, of the total tax revenues. And you know, the tax rate is 10%, which is about half of the, you know, rate in OECD, which is 19%. So in the long run, I agree that we have to raise, you know, to 12% or 15%. But that's going to face a tremendous political challenge. You know, Japan tried to raise the rate in the past and they failed because of the, you know, political kind of, the people's rejection to the idea. So it's going to be very difficult for the political party to raise it first. And in the long run, even though we have to raise it, I think it's going to be very slow. We can't raise it from, you know, 10% to, you know, 19% in one shot, right? So it's going to be very gradual raise, but it's going to face a tremendous political kind of pressure. So I think it's going to be very difficult.
Okay.
And we have to remember that, you know, 4 years ago, Germany, right after COVID-19, they lowered the rate from 19% to 16%. Consequence was inflation rate dropped from 1.9% to negative 0.6%. Uh-huh. So when the Germany dropped the VAT rate 3 percentage points, inflation rate has come down more than 2%. So it's going to be very effective in curing high inflation. Of course, you know, Germany took that policy for half a year, but I'm pretty sure, you know, if you lower the VAT tax rate, it's going to be pretty helpful for curing inflation.
Okay, so we'll have to wait and see when it comes to this topic. Now, because it is an important election season, we have to ask the big questions. Economy is widely seen as the biggest consideration for voters worldwide, and Korea is no exception. If you take a look at a Korea Society Opinion Institute survey, for example, 32% of voters found economic policies as the most important when headed to the polls. But there's kind of a discrepancy there, because up to 40% of voters also confess they don't know much about economic policies. That's the irony of the situation. So, which is why we have this segment in the first place, Professor Shin. What economic pledges do you believe are necessary to rejuvenate both the livelihoods of individuals and the overall Korean economy?
Yeah, I mean, export is doing good, especially in the semiconductor area. So I think export is improving in the future. And second is investment. Investment has been pretty slow for the last, I think, couple of years. And one of the reasons is interest rate is very high. And if interest rate goes down in the future, I think investment will pick up. The problem is consumption. And in order to help, improve consumption for the people, there are two ways. Either increase income, which is very difficult, and second way is reduce the value-added tax generally, not just the processed good, but generally. I think if the government take the value-added tax from 10% to 5% generally, right, I think it's going to help first inflation, and it's going to lower the price, and then people will consume more, and it would create more jobs. So to me, main solution to this kind of, a very slow economy, I think the reducing the value added tax is, I think, the real answer. But, it's going to be very difficult. First, revenue-wise, and the political party are not interested in that. So to me, I think, cutting the value added tax from 10% to probably 8% or 6%, like Germany had done, 4 years ago, I think it's going to be pretty helpful to come out of, economic stress these days.
But you're implying, just like Germany did, like a temporary relaxed VAT regulations, right?
Bring it down. All commodities.
On all commodities. But yeah, the likeliness of that unfolding is slim to none.
Almost 0%.
Thank you very much, Professor Shin. We appreciate your insights. We'll speak to you again next week.
Okay, see you.
Thank you very much. If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.